When I first heard that text and found out that it was assigned to me for today's chapel, I thought, bummer. How do you preach about food sacrificed to idols? It is not a contemporary and burning issue. So here's the setting. You are a recently converted Corinthian Christian, but you still have all your non-Christian friends. And you enjoy hanging out with them at a local social place, a place that just happens to have a loose association with a false god. And this club that you like to hang out at offers meals, and the meat has been sacrificed to one of these false gods. Now the question is it right or wrong for you to go there and to eat the meat that was sacrificed to an idol? Some will say, can't do that, can't give the appearance of syncretism. And others will tell you, no problem, no problem at all. After all, idols are nothing. There is only one true God and only one Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. So go ahead. It doesn't make a difference. And don't let those guys on the right wing, those nitpickers, persuade you otherwise. So thank you, Dean Burrison, for this text. How do I preach it? Well, I do have a way. But first, I want to tell you a story. Last week, I attended the megachurch conference down in Florida. And this is a conference of the pastors of our large Lutheran church, Missouri Synod pastors. And I got to tell you, these pastors have a passion, an absolute palpable passion for introducing people to Jesus. On the last day of the megachurch conference, one of the pastors stood up and said that he had brought 6 congregation members to visit the campuses of both St. Louis and Fort Wayne. These 6 were interested in becoming seminarians and pastors. And then he said that of the 6, after their visits to our 2 seminary campuses, not a one enrolled. He said that when they were on campus, these wannabe pastors picked up that the operative theme is cooperate and graduate. And then the pastor said, the faculty are old fogies, those are his words, not mine, the faculty are old fogies who impose their generational view of reality upon the new generation of pastors. I was defensive. Nothing surprising about that. That'd be a natural reaction. And I thought, hey, we've done a lot of things different in recent years here at this seminary. We've made major efforts to make things better relevant to the 21st century. And a lot of people, including pastors who like to talk, don't pay attention. They just don't pay attention. But behind his blast, there is some truth. And that truth is that our sense of community is inadequate. This text is about Christian community. And Paul told the Corinthians, yes, you can go to that club, that social place. Yes, you can eat the meat that was sacrificed to an idol, because an idol is nothing. And yes, there is only one God, only one true Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, you can do that, but if you exercise your Christian freedom in that way, might you be weakening, even destroying, the faith of a brother or sister for whom Christ died. Because for many brothers or sisters, that association with idols is the most dominant reality, and they can't divorce the fact that there is no idol from that strong association. Paul says, how would your conscience feel? How would your conscience feel if you knew that in the exercise of your Christian liberty, you had weakened, maybe even destroyed, the faith of someone for whom Christ died? The key to Christian community is not theological knowledge. As important as that is, and as much as we treasure it on our campuses, St. Paul says that the key to Christian community is love. And love always gives the supreme position to the person in front of you or in front of me. Love never gives the supreme position to me. So, if we are walking on the campus and do not sincerely greet one another, we are sending the signal that you are not as important as I am. And that contributes to a weakening, a slight weakening of faith. And so, if we skip chapel, which you haven't done, but I see that you did, and you did, and you did, and you did, and you did, it's Wednesday. If we skip chapel, that weakens at least one person's faith, mine. I'm going to tell you, when I see people going someplace else, when it's time for the community to gather to worship the one who gave it all for us, I consider that a stumbling block, not only to myself, but to the rest of the community, including those of us who come here. So if your theme is, cooperate and graduate, certainly not, no. But if the theme is cooperate and graduate, that is knowledge. That is practical, how to make it in this world and seminary knowledge. And it may be true as far as it goes, but it's not being honest with the rest of the community, especially professors. It is not showing yourself to be a person of integrity, which the ministry demands. And it, just like skipping chapel, cooperate and graduate deadens a part of your conscience. And conscience is a precious thing that we dare not, in the name of knowledge or individualism, deaden. And then finally, if we, the old fogies of the faculty, do not meet you guys where you are at in your generation, and only impose upon you our generational view of reality, then we may be imparting knowledge, and it may be very good and true knowledge, but we're not meeting you in love. We're not meeting you where you're at and bringing the knowledge of the past to your life now. Knowledge puffs up. Love for the person in front of you builds up. In that whole text, probably the key words are in verse 11, the brother for whom Christ died, the sister for whom Christ died. We've got the, 7th and 8th grade? eighth grade from Trinity Hoylman. There is no Hoylman. And you want to know something? You are a sister for whom Christ died. And you are a brother for whom Christ died. And Pastor Harms is a brother for whom Christ died. And you, Eric, are a brother, my brother for whom Christ died. And you, Reed, are my brother for whom Christ died. And you, Beth, are my sister for whom Christ died. And you, Tom, are my brother for whom Christ died. And you, Harry, are my brother for whom Christ died. And you, Michelle, my boss, my sister for whom Christ died. And you, Mike Redeker, my brother for whom Christ died. Would you do this? Turn to the person on your right and say, you are my brother or sister for whom Christ died. And turn to the person on your left and do the same. Dear Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, help me to always see the person you put in front of me as the brother or sister of mine for whom you died and whom you now live to form an ever more mature faith. You are my brother for whom Christ died. You are my sister for whom Christ died. You are my brother for whom Christ died. You are my sister for whom Christ died. You are my brother for whom Christ died. You are my sister for whom Christ died. You are my brother for whom Christ died. You are my sister for whom Christ died.